Who is this Jesus? Our children did a great job helping us with the story of Jesus, but it is an amazing story. You know, at this time of year, we like to highlight his coming, the arrival of the baby Jesus, the birth, and certainly worthy of our attention and our celebration, but Jesus is so much more. So who is this Jesus? The past few weeks, as we've gathered here, we've looked at who Jesus is, and we've looked at the Gospel of John, the very first chapter, and John writes the Gospel, the story of Jesus, in a profound way. He starts at the very beginning. Before anything else was created, we discover that before anything else, God was there. Jesus was present. He was there in the beginning. He is the Creator. He's the creator of everything that has ever been made. John tells us that in him is life, and that life is the light of all mankind. So every person that looks to him discovers his light, and through him discovers life. His light is bright. It's so bright that darkness cannot overcome it. That's good news this morning. Jesus' light is so bright that darkness cannot overcome it. I don't know what you're facing this morning, but I can guarantee that Jesus is more. He is greater than all of our circumstances. Last Sunday, we saw that as his people, as followers of Jesus, we are called to testify. We are called to give witness. We are called to live our lives in such a way that other people are not captivated by us, but they're captivated by Jesus living in and through us. What a wonderful calling that we have. I'd love for us to turn to the Gospel of John once again. I'm going to share a few more verses in John, in the New Testament. The Gospel of John, very first chapter, beginning in verse 9. John 1, beginning in verse 9, it says, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. John reveals to us and reminds us that the light was coming into the world. John was one who was called to give testimony to the one who was coming after him. John, we know as John the Baptist, described him as one who was so much greater, one who he was unworthy to even untie the sandals of. He was proclaiming that Jesus was on the way. So we know that the light was on the way. We know that the light was coming into the world. But guess what? This morning, the light has come. So this morning, if you want to know God, then you must believe that he is who he says he is. The only person this morning that can change your life is Jesus. He is the light. He is the light of the world. Do you know him? You see, when he first came into the world did not recognize him. Many of us have that same story. We did not recognize who Jesus was. Whether you've grown up in the church or not, many of you have heard bits and pieces of the story of Jesus. But do you know who he is? Has he entered into your life, and has he changed your life? When Jesus first came, he came to his own people, the very people who were waiting for him, and they did not recognize him. I have a similar story in my own life. Growing up in the church from 2 weeks old, I did not recognize who God was until I was 18 years old. Maybe today you're still unsure of who Jesus is. Maybe you're a little bit suspicious. It's okay, you're not going to offend God by being uncertain. It doesn't change his feelings towards you. But I want you to know today that you can be certain of who Jesus is. You don't have to wonder, you don't have to question. He wants you to know him. So he came into the world, and yet he is still coming. If you don't know him yet, he is coming into your world. So do you know him? He came to his own people. They didn't receive him. They didn't believe that he was who he said he was. They didn't understand. And yet they had been waiting and waiting and waiting for a Savior, a Messiah, one who would come and set them free. But really, we're not that much different. In my own life, I can think of those moments when I was just waiting and waiting for something that would set me free, something that would help me get beyond the struggle in my life. So when Jesus comes to you this morning, will you receive him? Do you know him? But to those who believed in his name, to those who did receive him, he gave them the right to become children of God. People not just born from a natural birth, but people who are born again. People who have seen him and know him. So have you been born again today? If you're unsure, then I can assure you that you've not been born again. Do you know him? Do you believe him this morning? Do you trust what he is saying to you? My girls got sick this week. I have three daughters, ages 3, 5, and 7. They would have been up here, so they missed out. They got very sick this week. They came down with that lovely flu thing that's going around. Although apparently in my home it's just the female flu. Because my wife and my three daughters got it, and so far I've been okay. So maybe don't shake my hand after church. But this flu hit them and it really wiped them out. So they're at home today. They're resting. They're trying to regain their strength and health. But what if I didn't believe them? Right? What if one of my daughters came to me and complained about being sick and I didn't believe what she was saying to me? What if I ignored what she was saying? What if I ignored all the signs, the complaining? I know your kids don't complain, but sometimes my kids complain, especially when they don't feel well. So what if I ignored the complaining? What if I ignored the fever and the warm skin and the high temperature, the tiredness? What if I ignored the vomiting? That one's kind of hard to ignore. But what if I didn't believe what they were saying to me? Now, I know if I chose to ignore them, I'd be a bad father, a poor example of a father, very unloving husband, right? If anything, my wife puts up with me because I come down with a man cold quite often, and she puts up with me, and here my wife is actually sick. So what if I didn't believe what they were saying to me? It'd be pretty wrong of me. And whether I chose to believe them or not, it doesn't change the reality that they are actually sick. Friends, this morning, I don't have to convince you of anything. John the Baptist, the one who came before Jesus, the one we read of in these verses in John 1, he didn't have to convince the people of anything. He was just called to share the truth, to proclaim the good news that Jesus was coming. He was called to proclaim and to make way for the one who was coming. He was a witness to the truth. He spoke very plainly and clearly. His message was that the kingdom of heaven is near, that God is near. And it's amazing to me this morning that that message that John the Baptist had over 2,000 years ago is the same message that we proclaim this morning, that the kingdom of heaven, that God is near. Every time we gather together, he is here in our midst. He is in our presence. And if you're a follower of Jesus, not only has he come near, but he will come and dwell and live within you. This is the message that we have. But we saw last week, and we can read in John 1, that not only was the message that the Messiah was coming, that God was coming near, the kingdom of heaven was breaking forth, not only was that the message, but it was also a call of repentance. You see, as God comes into our life and into our world, if we want to respond to Him, if we acknowledge His existence and begin to see His light, then we can't help ourselves. Because in His presence and in response to all that He is, we recognize who we are. That we are fallen, that we are sinful people. And yet He welcomes us into His very presence. So John came preaching this message of repentance, to repent. Now is the time. But John the Baptist had no reason to force others or convince anyone of anything. He just proclaimed the truth that the kingdom of God was near and that now was the time to respond. So every time God comes near, we have this opportunity. Each one of us, we can choose to hear the words and listen to the truth, or we can once again deny Him and ignore Him. It's in our hands. So what will you do now that you know that God is near, that He has come and that He is coming once again? How will you respond to that word? Will you see Him this morning as the true light, the light that shines in the darkness? Do you know Him? John writes and tells us, whoever believes in Him, He makes children of God. Children of God, those who are born again, not reborn naturally, but born anew into an eternal life that begins now but extends through all eternity with Jesus Himself. He is the one who makes us children of God. And He is a good Father. So I struggle as an earthly father when I see my children in pain. I struggle when I see them hurt because I don't want to see them living that way. I want to take it upon myself. I want to take it out of their lives so they're not suffering. Can I say to us this morning that God is the very same way? He does not want to see you struggling and suffering in your own ways. He makes a way for us to get over ourselves, to get beyond the selfishness and the self-centeredness. And I know this morning I can't be the only one who has lived for myself. God can set us free. Whoever believes in Him, He makes children of God, born again with a new life, a life of hope and peace. A life of joy. When Jesus came, many of God's chosen people rejected Him. You as well this morning, you also are His chosen people. He chose you before the creation of the world. He made you and He loves you today. So don't miss Him. Like, don't ignore this moment. As God begins to speak to your heart, as He whispers deep within who you are, don't shut Him out. Don't close Him off. Let Him in. Let Him change your life. But you must believe. Paul would later write, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You must believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let Him change you. Let Him change your life, your family, your home, the neighborhood in which you live, your workplace, this community. Because God is near and He is coming, it is His desire to restore and renew all things. So even those who are apart from God, even those who don't acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, you have been given this desire to see things improve and to see others benefit. That is God-given. But without surrendering your life to Him and allowing Him to be Lord and allowing Him to lead your life, you'll never enter into the fullness that He has for you. And you'll never enter into eternal life until you believe that Jesus is Lord. Listen, I'm no different than anyone else. In fact, I've probably done a few things that some of you haven't done in your life. And I'm so thankful this morning that God is able to forgive us of all of our sins. Not only does he forgive each one of us, but he takes it away from us. It is no longer our story. Our story becomes what he does for us. Our story is that Jesus Christ sets us free. Our story is that once we were blind, but now we can see when we see his lights. That's the story we have to share with one another. That's his desire. So just like you, I have a past. I've done a lot of things in my life, and I've caused a lot of pain and hurt to loved ones and to friends and to people that I'm not even aware of. Right? It's kind of the reality of this world that we live in, our interactions. We come into relationships with one another, and along the way, we hurt one another. But that doesn't have to be our story. When we trust that Jesus is Lord and as we follow him, he actually gives us a new story. We are born again into a life that is eternal. We are given his righteousness. And so all of those things that we've done and the people that we've hurt, we have an opportunity to go to them and to restore those relationships and to see God move in only the way he can. Right? So this morning, if you're struggling with a relationship, if you're struggling in your life, give up the fight and allow him to take over. Allow him to be Lord. And allow him to make all things new again. That's what he does when he breaks in and his light shines in the darkness. And then he changes us. And he changes those situations. And he can change your family. He can change your future. For generations to come. But it's in our hands. Paul writes in Ephesians 2, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God." Our children have shared a gift with us this morning. Through their ministry up here, they have shared a great gift with us. And I look forward to Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, depending on who you are. I look forward to sharing gifts with my loved ones, but the greatest gift that I could ever give to my family, to my friends, is by surrendering my life and receiving that very grace, the grace that he extends. That's the greatest gift I could give anyone, is giving up my own life, surrendering it to him, and allowing him to be Lord. He is the one who's able to transform our lives. And I praise God this morning that he has helped me. Without his grace and without his forgiveness, I wouldn't be here this morning. It is only by his grace. And so like all of you who are following after him, I give him all of the praise, all of the glory. But we decide today. We decide today who we will follow. We decide today whether or not we believe that Jesus is who he says he is. We get to decide with our very lives. If you're a parent or a grandparent and you've come here this morning, I just want you to take a moment to look at that child or those children that you came to support. As you take a moment, as you look at those children, know today that they are watching you. My kids watch me, and sometimes it terrifies me because I'm not yet who they need me to be, but I am working, and I'm following after Jesus, and I'm praying that he will transform me and continue to mold me into the father and husband that he's called me to be. I pray that he would form me into the kind of pastor that this community needs and that this church needs. But it's not me, it's him within me, living through me. So as you look at these children, know that they are looking to you. They are looking for those that they can trust and follow, those who have a passion. So I thank you this morning for entrusting your children to us just an hour a week, the opportunity we have to love them and help them understand the story that they've shared, that Jesus is Lord. But let's not just stop it there with our children. Let's be the kind of parents and grandparents and friends that these children need as they grow up. The kind of godly men and women that they can follow after as you follow Jesus. So I'm going to close us very simply this morning just by praying together. And this morning, if you don't know this Jesus that our children have spoken of and sang of and proclaimed this morning, if you don't know this Jesus that John the Baptist proclaimed was on his way, the one that is coming forward, then this morning I ask you and I plead that you would take this moment and ask God into your life. Make him Lord of your life. Allow him to set you free from bondage and from sin, because he has so much more for all of us. So let us quiet ourselves and bow our heads. We'll just close with a simple prayer, and then we'll get sent out from here. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. And we celebrate, Lord, your coming. We celebrate your life, your death, and most importantly, your resurrection. Lord, we know this morning that Jesus himself said he is the way, the truth, and the life. So if we want to have life, real life, eternal life, we must believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we must follow after you. In our own, Lord, it's impossible for us to please you, because at some point we're going to mess up. We're going to sin in some way. But with your presence in our lives, you enable us and you strengthen us and you help us, Father, to live that life, that calling that you have for us, the kind of life that our children and grandchildren, that they need. So bless each one. Father, this morning, if there's someone here that doesn't know Jesus, that doesn't know that you're Lord, Father, I pray right now that they would simply follow this prayer. Lord, I trust you. I believe in you, Lord, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Father, have my life. I repent of my sins. And I give you my future. All that I am is yours. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Jesus, that this morning you are faithful to forgive us, to give us new life. Lord, send us out from this place with peace and joy. Fill each heart and each home that's here this morning with your goodness and your presence and your peace. And Father, I pray that this Christmas would be the best Christmas of all, as we make sure that we celebrate who you are. And as we love others in your name. So send us from this place as people who are called to love as you have loved us. Send us back into our schools and into our jobs and into our neighborhoods, Father, filled with the peace and love of Christ. And let us love those all around us. In Jesus' name, we ask and we pray. In his name we pray. Amen. And amen. Amen.